coat? I step in front of him and level the gun at his forehead. It's freezing. Aren't you cold? Oh! He hiccups a nervous laugh. His teeth match the rest of him, small and scruffy with grime. I completely forgot to grab it. I was so excited when I heard that plane. I thought rescue had finally arrived. The smile dies. You are here to rescue me, aren't you? My finger twitches on the trigger. Sometimes you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and what happens is nobody's fault, I told Sullivan after hearing the story of the soldier. How old are you, may I ask? He asks. You seem much too young to be a soldier. I'm not a soldier, I tell him, and I'm not. I am the next step in human evolution. I answer truthfully. I am a silencer. Chapter 25. He springs toward me, an explosion of pale pink and black. A flash of tiny teeth and the gun flies from my hand. The blow breaks my wrist. The next punch, flying faster than even my enhanced eyes can follow, hurls me 6 feet straight back into the silo. The metal screeches, folds around my body like a taco. Now Constance's words come home. You've reached a conclusion without knowing all the facts. She wasn't going into those caves to neutralize survivors. She was going in to silence a silencer. Thanks, Connie. You might have told me. The fact that I don't die on impact saves my life. The phony priest pauses, cocking his head at me in a weird, bird-like way. I should be dead, or at least unconscious. How is it that I'm still standing? My, this is curious. Neither of us moves for several seconds. I've thrown off his game. Stall, ringer. Wait for Constance to come back. If Constance comes back, Constance may be dead. I'm not one of you, I say, pulling free of the metal nook. Vosh gave me the 12th system. His bemused expression doesn't change, but his shoulders tense. It is the only explanation that makes sense, yet it makes no sense. Curiouser and curiouser, he murmurs. Why would the commander enhance a human? Time to lie. The enemy taught me that great things can be accomplished by the smallest of lies. He's turned on you. He's given the 12th system to all of us. He shakes his head and smiles. He knows I'm full of shit. And we're coming for all of you now, I go on, before the pods can bring you to the ship. My rifle lies on the ground a yard from his foot. I don't know where my sidearm ended up. The knife is very close, lying about halfway between us. He'll expect me to go for the knife. Okay, so the lie doesn't seem to be working. I'll try the truth, but my hopes aren't high. I'm probably wasting my breath here, but you should know that you're as human as I am. You're being used, just like they're using everyone else. Everything you think you know about who you are, everything you remember, is a lie. Everything. He nods, smiling at me the way you smile at a crazy person. That's your cue, Constance. Jump out of the shadows and plunge your knife into his back. But Constance misses her entrance. I'm really at a loss, he says. What should I do with you? I don't know, I answer honestly. What I do know is I'm going to take that knife and bleed you out like a pig. I don't look at the knife. I know if I look, I won't stand a chance. He'll see through the ruse instantly. By not looking, I force him to look. He glances down only for a second, but a second is longer than I need. The tip of my steel-toed boot catches him under the chin, and his little body flies 10 feet before thumping down hard. Before he can get his feet beneath him, the knife leaves my hand and rockets toward his throat. He bats it into the air, then catches the knife on its descent, a move so wickedly graceful I can't help but admire it. I dive for the rifle. He beats me to it. His fist slams into my temple and I fall. My mouth smacks the ground. My upper lip splits open. Here it comes. Now he'll slit my throat. He'll pick up the rifle and blow my brains out. I'm a piker, an amateur, a newbie still adjusting to the augmentation he's lived with since he was 13. He twists a fistful of my hair into his hand and flings me onto my back. Blood filling my mouth, I gag. He towers over me, all 5'3" of him, knife in one hand, rifle in the other.
Who are you?
I spit the blood from my mouth.
My name is Ringer. Where are you from?
Well, I was born in San Francisco. He kicks me in the ribs. Not full force. Full force would have punctured a lung or burst my spleen. He doesn't want to kill me. Not yet.
Why are you here?
I look into his eyes and answer,
to kill you.
He flings the rifle away. It sails 100 yards, arching over the road into the field beyond. He seizes me by the throat and hauls me into the air. My toes leave the ground. His head turns. The curious crow, the alert owl. Against the next attack, there is no defense. His consciousness lances into me, a savage thrust that rips into my mind with such force that my autonomic system shuts down. I am plunged into darkness absolute. No sound, no sight, no sensation. His mind chews through mine, and what I feel in him is a hatred wider than the universe, pure rage and utter disgust, and, weird as it sounds, envy.
Ah, he sighs. Who do you seek?
Not the ones who were lost. A little girl, a sad, soulful boy. They died that you might live, yes?
Yes.
Oh, how lonely you are. How empty. I'm holding teacup against me in the old hotel, fighting to keep her warm. Razor is holding me in the bowels of the base, fighting to keep me alive. It's a circle, zombie, bound by fear.
But there is another, the priest murmurs. Hmm, do you know? Have you discovered it yet?
His soft chuckle is cut short. I know why. There's no guessing. We are one. He's dredged up Constance and that stupid, vapid soccer mom smile. He flings me away like he flung the rifle, disdainfully, a useless piece of human-made garbage. The hub prepares my body for impact. There's plenty of time for that while I sail through the air. I smash into the rotten porch railing of the white farmhouse. The wood explodes with a loud wallop as the old boards crack beneath me. I lie still. The world spins. Worse than the physical beating, though, was the pummeling of my mind. I can't think. Fragmented, disconnected images explode into being, fade, bloom again. Zombie's smile, Razor's eyes, Teacup's scowl, then Vosh's face, cut from stone, massive as a mountain, and the eyes that pierce to the very bottom, that see everything, that know me. I roll onto my side. My stomach heaves. I throw up on the porch steps until there's nothing left in my stomach, and then I throw up some more.
You have to get up, Ringer. If you don't get up, zombie's lost.
I try to stand. I fall. I try to sit up. I keel over. The silencer priest felt them inside me. I thought they were gone. I thought I had lost them. But you never lose those who love you, because love is a constant. Love endures. Someone's arms are lifting me up. Razors. Someone's hands steady me. Teacups. Someone's smile is giving me hope. Zombies. I should have told him when I had the chance how much I love the way he smiles. I rise. Razor lifting. Teacup steadying. Zombie smiling.
You know what you do when you can't stand up and march, soldier?
Vosh asks.
You crawl.
Chapter 26. Zombie. North of Urbana, the old highway cuts through farm country, the fallow fields on either side glowing silver-gray in the brilliant starlight, the burned-out shells of the farmhouses black freckles against the sheen. The caverns lie 9 miles as the crow flies to the northeast, but I'm no crow. I'm not leaving this highway and risking getting lost. If I keep up the pace without stopping to rest, I should reach the target before dawn. That'll be the easy part. Superhuman assassins who can look like anyone, for example, a sweet, hymn-singing senior citizen. Little kids who wander near encampments and hideouts with bombs embedded in their throats. Doesn't exactly encourage hospitality to strangers. There'll be sentries, hidden bunkers, sniper's nests, maybe a vicious German shepherd or a Doberman or two, tripwires, booby traps. The enemy has blown apart the fundamental glue that binds us together, turning every outsider into the intolerable other. That's funny, the sick type of funny. After the aliens arrived, we became the aliens. Which means the odds of them shooting me on sight are pretty high, like in the 99.9% neighborhood. Oh well, YOLO, right? I've looked at the little map printed on the back of my brochure so many times, it's burned into my memory like an afterimage. US 68 north to SR 507, SR 507 east to SR 245. Then a half mile north and you're there. Easy peasy, no problemo. 3 to 4 hours quick stepping on an empty stomach with no rest or sleep, and sunrise coming. I'll need time to reconnoiter. I have no time. I'll need a game plan of how to approach a hostile sentry. I have no plan. I'll need the right words to convince them I'm one of the good guys. I have no words. All I've got is my winning personality and a killer smile. At the corner of 507 and 245, there's a waist-high sign with a big rust-colored arrow pointing north. Ohio Caverns. The ground rises. The road arches toward the stars. I adjust my eyepiece and scan the woods on the left for green glow. I drop to my belly shy of the hill crest and crawl the rest of the way to the top. A paved access road winds through more trees toward a cluster of buildings. Tiny black smudges against gray. 50 yards away are 2 stone markers with white signs mounted on top of each. OC. I inch forward the way we were taught in camp, low crawl style, face in the dirt, rifle in one hand, the other extended forward. At this pace, I won't reach the caverns until well after my 21st birthday, but that's preferable to not being alive to celebrate it. Every few feet I pause to lift my head and scan the terrain. Trees, grass, a snarl of downed power lines, trash, a single tiny tennis shoe lying on its side. After another 100 yards and 100 years later, my outstretched fingers brush metal. I don't lift my head. I drag the object in front of my face. A crucifix. A chill goes down my spine. I didn't have time to think, Sullivan told me. I saw the light glinting off the metal. I thought it was a gun. So I killed him. Over a crucifix, I killed him. I wish she'd never told me that story. If I didn't know better, I'd consider finding a random crucifix in the dirt to be a good sign. I might even hang on to it for luck. Instead, it feels like a big black cat crossing my path. I leave Jesus lying in the dirt. Scooch, scooch, pause, look. Scooch, scooch, pause, look. I can see buildings now. A gift shop and welcome center, the remnants of a stone well. Beyond the buildings, weaving between the tree-shaped gashes in the dark, is a thumbnail-sized, fiery green blob of light headed straight toward me. I freeze. I'm totally exposed, no place to take cover. The blob grows larger, edging along the front of the welcome center now. I rise to my elbows and sight him through the scope of the M16. He's such a little guy that at first I think he's a kid. Black pants, black shirt, and a collar that in better days was white. Looks like I've found the owner of the crucifix. I should probably shoot him before he sees me. Oh, how stupid. What a dumb idea. Shoot him and you'll have the whole encampment on your ass. Fire only if you're fired upon. You're here to save people, remember? The man in black with the green blobby head disappears around the corner of the building. I count the seconds. When I reach 120 and he hasn't reappeared, I high crawl it to the nearest tree, where I brush the dead grass and dirt from my face and try to collect my breath and my thoughts, in that order. I do better on the breath part. I'm getting now why Vosh passed over Ringer to promote me to squad leader. She was definitely the wiser choice. Smarter than me, a better shot, sharper instincts. But I got the nod instead because I had one thing that she didn't. Blind loyalty to the cause and unflinching faith in its leader. Okay, that's actually 2 things, whatever. My point is that faith trumps smarts every time. Guts beat brains. At least that's true if you want an army of misguided, suicidal buffoons willing to sacrifice their lives so the enemy doesn't have to. Can't hide here forever. And I didn't leave Dumbo behind so he could die while I hid with my thumb up my ass waiting for an idea to spring forth in this Cro-Magnon brain I've been blessed with. What I really need, I decide, is a hostage. Of course, that idea comes 5 minutes after the perfect candidate disappears. I peek around the tree toward the welcome center. Nothing. I haul ass to the closest tree. Stop, drop, peek. Nothing. 2 trees later, and about 50 yards closer, I still don't see him. He probably just found a private place to take a leak. Or he's already below, safe and warm and telling Ringer all's clear topside while he gently rocks Teacup to sleep. I've been having fantasies about these caves since Ringer left, minus the priest, in which she and Teacup stay warm and dry and well-fed through this endless goddamned winter. I think about what I'll say when I finally see her, what she'll say to me, how the perfectly dropped phrase might finally make her smile. There's a part of me that's convinced this everlasting war will end when I coax a smile out of that girl. Okay, I decide, forget the priest. That welcome center has to be manned. I might end up with half a dozen hostages instead of one, but beggars can't be choosers. I need to get into those caves ASAP. I scan the terrain, plot my route, mentally rehearse the assault. I have 1 flash grenade left. I have the element of surprise. Surprise is good. I have my rifle and Dumbo's sidearm. Probably will not be enough. I'll be outgunned, which means I will die, which means Dumbo will die. There's a single window facing me. I'll smash it with the butt of my rifle, toss the grenade, and then hoof it around the building to the front door. 6 seconds tops. They won't know what hit them. That'll be my story anyway, when I tell my grandkids about this day. I was so focused on the window, I forgot to look where I was going. I wish I had another explanation for how I fell into that damn hole, 6 feet wide and twice as deep. A hole you couldn't miss even in the dark, not only because of its size, but because of what it contained. Bodies. Hundreds of bodies. Big bodies, little bodies, medium-sized bodies, clothed bodies, half-clothed bodies, naked bodies. Freshly dead bodies and bodies not so freshly dead. Whole bodies and body parts and parts that used to be inside bodies but no longer were. I went down to my hips into the slimy, reeking mass, and my feet found no bottom. I just kept sinking. Nothing to grab hold of except bodies, which slid down with me. I came face to face with a fresh one as I sank, like a really fresh one, a woman in her 30s, her blonde hair caked in dirt and blood, 2 black eyes, 1 cheek swollen to the size of my fist, her skin still pink, her lips plump. She couldn't have been more than a few hours dead. I twist away. I'd rather face 12 rotted faces than one that looks alive. I'm shoulder deep by this point and still being sucked under. I'm going to be suffocated by human remains. I'm going to drown in death. It's so ridiculously metaphorical, I nearly bust out laughing. That's when the fingers lock around my neck. Then her definitely not corpse-cold lips against my ear. Don't make a sound, Ben. Play dead. Ben? I try to turn my head. No way, her grip is too strong. We've got 1 shot, the voice whispers. So don't move. It knows where we are now, and it's coming. Chapter 27. A shadow rises at the pit's edge, silhouetted against the blaze of stars overhead. A small figure, its head cocked to one side, listening. I don't even think about it. I hold my breath and go limp, watching him through slitted lids. He's holding a familiar-looking object in his right hand, a K-bar combat knife, standard issue to all recruits. The woman's fingers loosen on my throat. She's gone limp, too. Who do I trust? Her? Him? Neither? 30 seconds pass. 1 minute. Pushing 2. I don't move. She doesn't move. He doesn't move. I won't be able to hold my breath or put off the decision much longer. I'll have to take either a breath or a shot at somebody. But my arms are entangled with dead ones, And anyway, I lost the rifle when I fell. I don't even know where it landed. He does, though, the priest who traded his crucifix for a knife. I see your rifle, son, he says. Come on up. There's nothing to fear. They're all dead, and I'm completely harmless. He kneels at the edge of the ossuary and holds out his empty hand. Don't worry, you can have your rifle back. I don't like guns. I never have. He smiles. Then the not-dead lady's got him by the wrist. Then he's flying into the pit with us, and then there's Dumbo's sidearm against his temple and her voice saying, "Then you're gonna hate this." And then the priest's head explodes. Not sure, but I think that's my cue to get the hell out of that hole. Chapter 28. I've lost my rifle, and somehow the not-dead lady ended up with the pistol. I have no idea if she saved my life or just started with the priest and I'm next. Pushing and clawing your way out of a mass grave wasn't something they covered in camp. Because under normal circumstances, if you find yourself neck deep in dead people, the odds are you're probably one yourself. I'm not going to hurt you, she says. She smiles broadly, and that's gotta hurt with a broken cheek. Then drop the gun. She does, immediately. She holds up her empty hands. How do you know my name? I ask. More of a shout, really. Marika told me. Who the hell is Marika? I scoop up the pistol. She makes no move to stop me. The girl standing behind you. I pivot quickly to the left, keeping her in my peripheral vision. There's nobody behind me. Look, lady, I'm having a really bad day. Who are you, and who was that little guy you just killed, and where is Teacup? Where's Ringer? I told you, zombie, with a trilling little laugh. She's behind you. I raise the gun to the level of her eyes. I'm not scared or confused anymore. I'm just pissed. I don't know if she's the silencer of the caverns, and I really don't care. I'm killing every stranger in my path until I find somebody who isn't one. I know what's what. Jesus Christ, of course I know. I knew it before I left the safe house. It's all been for nothing. Nothing. Dumbo's going to die for nothing because Ringer is nothing. She's lying in that tangle of bodies, a raven-haired, smileless nothing, along with Teacup, both of them nothing, like the 7 billion other nothings busy breaking down into random molecules of nothing. And I'm going to help. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to murder every dumbass, stupid bastard who's unlucky enough to cross my path. They wanted a mindless, stone-cold killer to let loose on the world. They wanted a zombie. Now, they've got one. I take aim at that silly, smiling, busted-up face and squeeze the trigger.
Chapter 29. Ringer. I'm probably going to regret this. Keeping Constance around is like finding a viper in bed with your kids. Going after it risks hurting the kids more than the snake. So I almost let Zombie do it. It was tempting. But a millisecond before the bullet exits the barrel, I ram my open palm into his elbow, throwing off the shot. His gun is in my hand by the time the report sounds. He whirls around, his hand balled into a fist, which is aimed at my head. I catch it. Zombie's shoulder jerks on impact, as if he's punched a brick wall, and then his mouth drops open and his eyes grow wide with astonishment and disbelief, a reaction so cliched and predictable, he almost does it. He almost gets me to smile. Almost. Ringer? He says. I nod. Sergeant? His knees wobble. He falls into me and presses his face against my neck, and over his shoulder I can see Constance smiling at us. I'm not sure who's holding up whom at this point. Using the 12th system, I pour myself into him. Where there is pain, I give comfort. Where there is fear, hope. Where there is rage, peace. It's all right, I tell him, looking at Constance. She's with me. You're safe now, zombie. We're all perfectly safe. My first lie to him. It won't be the last. Chapter 30. He pulls out of my arms, His eyes wander over the starlit fields, the road beyond, the bare, uplifted arms of the trees. He wants to ask, but doesn't want to either. I tense, waiting for the question. Is it cruel to make him say it aloud? Teacup? I shake my head. He nods, lets out the deep breath he's holding. Finding me was a kind of miracle, and when one miracle happens, you expect another. The little shit, he mutters, looking away. Fields, road, trees. She snuck off on me, Ringer. He gives me a hard look. How? I say the first thing that pops into my head. One of them. I nod toward the pit. The second lie. We've been dodging them all winter. The third. It's like I've jumped off a cliff, or pushed a zombie off. With each lie, he recedes from me, accelerating as we fall. But not Cup. He steps over to the pit and stares into the mass of decomposing remains. Is she in here? Constance jumps into the conversation. I'm not sure why. No, we gave her a proper burial, Ben. Zombie looks at her, glowering. Who the fuck are you? Her smile expands. My name is Constance. Constance Pierce. I'm sorry. I know we've never met, but it feels like I know you. You're practically all Marika talks about. He stares at her for a second. Marika, he echoes. That would be me, I tell him. Now staring at me. You never told me your name was Marika. You never asked. I never... He hiccups a humorless laugh and shakes his head. Then, without another word, he drops into the pit. I rush to the edge, thinking he's lost his mind, gone Dorothy, that Teacup's death was the final tiny straw that broke his back. Why else would he jump in there? Then I see him grab his rifle, sling it over his shoulder, and crawl back to the edge. We lock our fingers around each other's wrists, and I pull him out. Where are the others? He demands. Others? That loaded word. Survivors, are they in the caves? I shake my head. There are no other survivors, zombie. Just Marika and me, Constance chirps. Why does she have to be so goddamned cheerful? Zombie ignores her. Dumbo's been shot, he informs me. I left him in Urbana. Let's go. He brushes past me and strides toward the road without looking back. Constance is watching me. My, isn't he a cutie? I tell her to fuck off. Chapter 31. I fall in next to him. Constance trails several yards behind, out of normal human earshot, but Constance isn't a normal human. Zombie walks with shoulders hunched, head thrust forward, eyes darting up, down, side to side. The road stretches before us, cutting across rolling farmland that will never be farmland again. What Teacup did was her choice, I say. Not your fault, zombie. A sharp shake of his head, then, why didn't you come back? Deep breath. Time to lie again. Too risky. Yeah, well, it's all about the risk, isn't it? Then, Poundcake is dead. Impossible. I saw the surveillance tape. I counted the people in the safe house. If Poundcake's dead, who's the extra person? Impossible, really? He says. How do you figure? What happened? He waves his hand at me like he's brushing away a gnat. Had a little trouble after you left. Long story. Short story. Walker found us. Vosh found us. A silencer found us. Then Cake blew himself up. His eyes close briefly, snap open again. We rode out the rest of the winter in the dead silencer's safe house. We have 4 days left, which is why Beau and I decided to come for you. He swallows. Why, I decided. 4 days left till what? He glances at me, and the smile that crawls across his face is frightening. The end of the world. Chapter 32. Then he tells me what happened in Urbana. How about that, huh? He asks. My first kill of the war, and it's some random old cat lady. Except she wasn't random and wasn't a cat lady. I never saw so many cats. Cat ladies don't eat their pets. Handy food supply, though. You'd think after a while the cats would get wise.
He sounds like the old zombie, the one I left behind in that rat-infested hotel wearing a ridiculous yellow hoodie while he flirted with me. The voice is right, but the appearance is wrong. Restless, sleep-deprived eyes, downturned grayish mouth, cheeks camouflaged in dried blood. He glances back at Constance, then ducks his head slightly and lowers his voice.
So what's her story?
The typical one, I begin. Here comes lie number 5. Rode out the plague in Urbana, then headed north to the caves after her family was gone. She guesses over 200 people were holed up down there by the first snow of the season.
Then the priest showed up. Around Christmas,
I add, a nicely ironic detail. You can't have a good story without one or two of those. Nobody caught on at first. Someone goes missing one night. Well, maybe they panicked and hit the road. One day, they wake up and realize over half the population is gone. You know what happened next, zombie. Paranoia. People forming factions, alliances. Your basic tribal response. This person is accused. That person. Fingers pointing everywhere. And in the middle of it all, this priest trying to keep the peace. I rattle on, adding detail, nuance, a snatch of dialogue here and there. I'm surprised by how effortlessly the bullshit flows from my mouth. Lying is like murder. After the first one, each one that follows is easier. Eventually, inevitably, the priest is found out for the silencer he is. Mayhem ensues. By the time the survivors realize they're no match for him, it's too late. Constance barely manages to escape, returning to Urbana and skipping from abandoned house to abandoned house, by dumb luck staying in an area between the cat lady's territory and the priest's, a place that's rarely patrolled by either of them. That's where we found each other, I tell him. She warned me off the caverns, and ever since then we've been... Teacup, he snaps. He doesn't give a shit about the adventures of Constance and Ringer. Tell me about Teacup. She found me, I say without thinking. The truth. Now for the next lie. 6th? 7th? I've lost count. This lie to shift the burden from his hunched shoulders onto the ones to which it belonged. Just south of Urbana. I didn't know what to do. Didn't want to risk bringing her back. Didn't want to risk taking her with me. Then that choice was taken away. Cat lady, he breathed. I nod, relieved. Just like Dumbo, only Teacup wasn't so lucky. See, zombie? I'm the one who lost her, and you're the one who avenged her. Not exactly absolution, but the nearest I can give him.
Tell me it was quick.
It was quick.
Tell me she didn't suffer.
She didn't suffer. He turns his head and spits on the side of the road, a bad taste in his mouth.
A couple of days, you said. I'll scope them out and be back in a couple of days.
I don't make the rules, zombie, the odds.
Oh, take the odds and stuff them up your ass. You should have come back. Your place is with us, Ringer. We're all you've got and you left us.
That's not what happened and you know it. He stops suddenly. Beneath the rust-colored mask, his face is a deeper red.
You don't run from the people who need you. You fight for them. You fight beside them, no matter the cost, no matter the risk.
He spits out the word.
I thought you understood that. You told me in Dayton that you did. You said you were an expert on what matters, and I guess you are, if what matters is saving yourself while the rest of the world burns.
I don't say anything because he isn't talking to me. I am the mirror.
You shouldn't have left, he goes on. We needed you. If you hadn't left, Teacup would still be alive. And if you'd come back, Poundcake might be alive. Instead, you decided to hang out with a total stranger, to hell with us, and now Dumbo's blood is on your hands too.
He jabs a finger at my face.
If he dies, it's your fault. Dumbo came looking for you.
Hey kids, is everything all right?
Constance, her smile withered to a concerned grin.
Oh, sure, Zombie says. We were just discussing where we should go for dinner. Chinese sound good to you? Well, it's closer to breakfast, Constance answers brightly. I could really go for some pancakes. Zombie looks at me. She's fun. What a blast you must have had this winter. Constance's worried grin disappears. Her bottom lip quivers. Then she bursts into tears and flops down on the asphalt, resting her elbows on her knees and burying her broken face in her hands. Zombie takes in the act for a long, uncomfortable moment. I know what she's doing. The best hammer to break the bonds of distrust is natural human sympathy. Pity has killed more people than hate. When the last day comes for Zombie, it won't be another person who betrays him. It will be his heart. He glances at me. What's with this woman? I shrug. Who knows? My apathy fuels his pity, and he gives into it, squatting beside her. Hey, look, I was being an asshole, I'm sorry. Constance mutters something that sounds like pancakes. Zombie touches her shoulder gently. Hey, Connie. It's Connie, right? Constance, right. I have a friend, Constance. He's hurt pretty bad, and I need to get back to him, now. Rubbing her shoulder. Like, right now. It makes me sick to my stomach. I turn away. Across the eastern horizon, a slash of garish pink glows. Another day closer to the end.
I just don't know how much more I can take.
Constance is moaning, on her feet now and leaning her whole body into Zombie's, a hand on his shoulder, a not-so-young-and-fair damsel in distress. If I had to give Constance a nom de guerre, I would pick Cougar. Zombie gives me a look. A little help here? Of course you can take more, I say to her, my stomach still churning. I wish the hub would get a grip on my gut. And then you're gonna take a little more, then a little more, and after that, a little more. I pull her off him, not gently. She snuffles loudly, pouring it on.
Please don't be mean to me, Marika, she whimpers. You're always so mean.
Oh, dear God. Here, Zombie says, taking her arm. She can walk with me. You should be covering the rear anyway, Ringer.
Oh, yes, Constance purrs. Cover the rear, Marika.
The world spins. The ground heaves. I stumble a couple feet off the road and double over, at which point everything in my stomach comes out in a violent gush. A hand on my back. Zombies. Hey, Ringer, what the hell?
I'm okay, I gasp, shrugging off his hand. Must be the undercooked rabbit.
Another lie, and not even a necessary one. Chapter 33. Mid-morning, downtown Urbana, under a cloudless sky, the temperature in the mid-40s. You can feel it coming. Spring. Zombie and Constance rush into the coffee shop while I cover the street. From the doorway, I hear Zombie's startled cry, and then he's skittering back to me across the treacherous coffee bean-covered floor. What? He pushes past me and lurches onto the street, whipping right, then left, then back again. Constance comes over and says, apparently the kid's gone. In the middle of Main Street, Zombie throws back his head and howls Dumbo's name. As if in mockery, the echo ricochets back at him. I trot over to his side. Screaming probably isn't a good idea, Zombie. His response is a wide-eyed, uncomprehending stare. Then he turns and races down the street, calling his name over and over, Dumbo! Dumbo! And, Dumbo, you dumbass, where are you? He loops back to us after a couple of blocks, out of breath and shaking with panic. Somebody took him. How do you know? I ask. You're right, I don't. Thanks for the reality check, Ringer. He probably got up and ran all the way to the safe house, except for the inconvenient fact that he was shot in the back. I ignore the sarcasm. I don't think anyone took him, Zombie. He laughs. That's right. I forgot. You're the one with the answers. Come on, the suspense is killing me. What happened to Dumbo, Ringer? I don't know,
I answer. But I don't think anyone took him because there's nobody left to do the taking. Your cat lady would have seen to that. I start off down the street. He watches me for a few seconds, then shouts at my back. Where the hell are you going? The safe house, zombie. Didn't you say it was south on Highway 68? Unbelievable! He erupts in a torrent of curses. I keep walking. Then he shouts, What the hell happened to you out here anyway? Where's the ringer who told me that everyone matters? Mean, Constance whispers to him. I hear her clearly. I told you. I keep walking. 5 minutes later, I find Dumbo crumpled at the base of a barricade that stretches from sidewalk to sidewalk across Maine. That he made it this far, nearly 10 blocks from where he was hit, is extraordinary. I kneel beside him and press my fingers against his neck. I whistle loudly. When Zombie comes sprinting to the scene, he's out of breath and ready to collapse. So is Constance, except her exhaustion is an act. How the hell did he get here? Zombie wonders aloud. He looks around wildly. The only way he could, I answer. He crawled. Chapter 34. Zombie doesn't ask why Dumbo would drag himself 10 blocks in great pain and with a bullet in his back. He doesn't ask because he knows the answer. Dumbo wasn't fleeing danger or looking for help. Dumbo was looking for his Sarge. It's more than Zombie can handle. He falls against the side of the barricade, gulping air, his face lifted up to the sky. Lost, found, dead, alive, the cycle repeats. There's no escape. There's no reprieve. Zombie closes his eyes and waits for his breath to slow, his heart to steady. A small break before it begins again. The next loss. The next death. It's always been this way, I wanted to tell him. We bear the unbearable. We endure the unendurable. We do what must be done until we ourselves are undone. I scooch next to Dumbo and lift up his shirt. The bandage is soaked. The packing beneath the bandage is saturated. If he wasn't bleeding out before, he is now. I press my hand onto his ashen cheek. His skin is cool, but I am going deeper than the skin. I am going into him. Beside me, Constance watches. She knows what I'm doing. Is it too late? She whispers. Dumbo feels me inside him. His eyelids flutter, his lips part, and breath roils from his open mouth. In the dwindling twilight of his consciousness, a question, an aching need. I go where you go. Zombie, I murmur. Say something to him. To live, Dumbo would need a massive blood transfusion. He won't get one. But he didn't crawl 10 blocks in blistering pain for that. That isn't why he held on. Tell him he made it, Zombie. Tell him he found you. There is a light that glimmers along the darkening edge of an infinite horizon. In that light, the heart finds what the heart seeks. In that light, Dumbo goes where his beloved Zombie goes. In that light, a boy named Ben Parrish finds his baby sister. In that light, Marika saves a little girl called Teacup. In that light are promises kept, dreams realized, time redeemed. And Zombie's voice, speeding Dumbo toward the light. You made it, Private. You found me. No darkness slamming down. No endless fall into lightlessness. All was light when I felt Dumbo's soul break the horizon. Lost, found, and all was light.
3. The third day. Chapter 35. Zombie. I won't leave Dumbo to rot where he fell. I won't leave him for the rats and the crows and the blowflies. I will not burn him either. I will not abandon his bones to be picked over and scattered by vultures and vermin. I will dig a grave for him in the cold, stubborn earth. I will bury his medkit with him, but no rifle. Dumbo was not a killer. He was a healer. He saved my life twice. No, three times. I have to count his telling Ringer where to shoot me that night in Dayton. There are dozens of faded flags stuck throughout the barricade. I will mark his grave with them. The fabric will fade to white. The wooden dowels will fall and slowly decay. Or, if Walker fails to blow up the mothership, the bombs that are coming will leave nothing behind. No flags, no grave, no Dumbo. Then the earth will settle and grass will grow over my friend, covering him in a blanket of vivid green. Zombie, there's no time, Ringer informs me. There's time for this. She doesn't put up another argument. I'm sure there are about 12 she could whip out, but she holds back. It's past noon by the time I'm finished. Dear Christ, it's turned into a beautiful goddamn day. We sit by the mound of freshly turned dirt and I pull out the rest of my power bars to share. Ringer takes a few tiny bites, then shoves the rest into her jacket pocket. The rabbit? I ask. She grunts a non-answer. The woman named Constance gobbles down her bar. Speaking of rabbits, her eyes dart around like ones, nose twitching as if she's sniffing the air for danger. Dumbo's rifle lies on the ground beside her. She refused to take it at first. Said she had a problem with guns. Like, for real? How'd she live this long? The other thing. Father Silencer had said something very similar about guns right before Constance blew his head off with mine. Anybody wanna say something? I ask. I hardly knew him, Ringer answers. I didn't know him at all, Constance says. Maybe she thinks that sounded harsh because she adds, poor thing. He was from Pittsburgh. He loved the Packers, video games. He was a gamer. I took a breath. Damn, didn't seem like much. Nothing, really. Call of Duty, borderline MLG. And Ringer goes, irony. I'm sure he was a very sweet boy, Constance chimes in. I shake my head. I didn't even know his real name. Then to Ringer, it's just you and me now. What do you mean? Squad 53. We're the last. I snap my fingers. Christ, I forgot Nugget. Three then. Who would have thought it, huh? Back in the day? That it'd be down to the three of us? Well, I would have put my money on you. Not that money means anything anymore. Or my judgment. Nugget, Jesus, that kid's indestructible. But me? Never. Never in a million years. I should have died so many times I've lost count. You're here for a purpose. Constance leans towards me and points at my chest. There's a special place in his plan for you. Whose plan? Vosh's? God's. She looks at Ringer, then back at me. A place for all of us. I'm looking at the mound of dirt at my feet. What was his place? What purpose did God have for Dumbo? Take the bullet for me so I could get onto my purpose, whatever the hell that is? I think you're right, zombie, Ringer says. It doesn't have meaning. It's just luck. Right, luck. His bad, my good. Like stumbling onto Constance hiding in that pit, and then you stumbling into both of us. Yes, like that. Blank-faced. Talk about beating the odds. You know what it's like, Ringer? What is it like, zombie? Her voice, too blank, without inflection, without emotion. One of those no-way moments in movies. You know what I'm talking about? The thing that makes you shake your head and go, no way. The good guy showing up in the nick of time, the bad guy suddenly getting a case of the stupids. Ruins it for you, wrecks it all to shit. The real world doesn't work that way. It's the movies, zombie, Ringer says, holding herself very still. She knows where this is going. She knows. I've never met anyone smarter or scarier. Something about this girl scares the living crap out of me. Always has, from the first day I saw her in camp watching me do knuckle push-ups in the yard, until the blood pooled beneath my hands. The way she looks at you, flaying you open like a fish on the cutting block, and cold. Not the cold of a walk-in freezer, or the cold of this never-ending fucking winter. The cold of dry ice. The cold that burns. Oh, the movies, Constance cries softly. How I miss the movies. I've had enough. I am done. I level my sidearm at Constance's head. Touch that rifle and I will kill you. Move one inch and you will die. Chapter 36. The woman's mouth drops open. Her hands fly to her chest. She starts to say something, and I hold up my free hand. And no talking. Talking will also get you killed. To ring her, but keeping my eye on Constance. You can come clean now. Who is this person? I told you, zombie. You're good at a lot of things, ringer, but you suck at lying. Something seriously twisted here. Tell me what it is and I won't waste her. I'm being honest. You can trust her. The last person I trusted threw cat stew in my face. Then don't trust her. Trust me. I look at her. Blank face, dead eyes, and the coldness that burns. Zombie, I would never lie to you, Ringer says. Without Constance, I wouldn't have made it through the winter. Yeah, tell me how you did that. Tell me how you survived an entire winter in the most obvious hiding place inside a silencer's territory without freezing to death, starving to death, or getting knifed to death. Tell me. Because I know what needs to be done. Huh? What the hell does that even mean? I swear to you, zombie. She's okay. She's one of us. The gun is shaking. That's because my hand is. I bring up the other to support my wrist. Constance is giving Ringer a look. Marika? Okay, now that's another thing, I shout. You would never tell her your name, not in a million years. Shit, you wouldn't even tell me. Ringer slides into the space between me and Constance. Her eyes are not so dead now, her face not so mask-like. I've seen the look once before, in Dayton, when she whispered, Ben, we're the fifth wave. Determined to convince me, desperate for me to believe. How do you know she's one of us, Ringer? I ask. Well, more like beg. How can you know? Because I'm alive, she answers. She holds out her hand. The safest thing, for me, for her, for the people I left behind in the safe house, is to ignore Ringer and kill the stranger. I have no choice, which means I have no responsibility. I can't be blamed for following the rules that the enemy set down. Step aside, Ringer. She shakes her head. Her dark bangs slide back and forth. Not going to happen, Sergeant. Her dark, unblinking eyes, her mouth firmly set, her whole body leaning toward me, and her hand waiting for the weapon that quivers in mine. I risked everything to rescue her, and damn if she isn't risking it to save me. The others have loosed more than one kind of silencer on the world, more than one kind of infested. I feel him inside me, the one who would rip my soul in two, and they didn't need to come a gazillion light years to bring him here. He's always been there, inside, the silencer within. What's happening to us, Ringer? She nods. She knows exactly where I'm coming from. Always has. We still have a choice, she answers. They want us to believe we don't, but it's a lie, zombie. Their biggest one. Behind her, Constance whimpers. I am human. That's how it'll go down. Those will be the last words of the last one left. I am human. I don't even know what that means anymore, I say to Ringer, to myself, to nobody at all. But I drop the gun into Ringer's open hand. Chapter 37. Sam. The front door flew open and Cassie lunged in from the porch, holding her rifle. Sam, quick, go wake up Evan. He didn't wait for the rest. He raced down the hall to Evan's room. Zombie had come back. Sam was sure of it. Evan wasn't asleep. He was sitting up in bed, staring at the ceiling. What is it, Sam? Zombie's back. Evan shook his head. How could that be? Then he slid from the bed, grabbed his rifle, and followed Sam down the hall and into the living room. And Cassie was saying, What do you mean Dumbo's gone? There was Zombie and Ringer and a stranger in the room with Cassie. Dumbo wasn't there. Teacup wasn't there. He's dead, Ringer answered, and Sam asked, Teacup too? And Ringer nodded, Teacup too. Behind him, Evan Walker asked, Who is this? He was talking about the stranger, a blonde older lady with a nice face, about the age of Sam's mother when she died. She's with me, Ringer said. She's okay. The lady was looking at Sam. She was smiling. My name is Constance, and you must be Sam, Private Nugget. It's very nice to meet you. She held out her hand. His daddy taught him to always shake hands firmly. A good, strong grip, Sam, my man, but don't squeeze too hard. The smiling lady did, though, very hard. She yanked Sam into her chest, wrapping an arm around his neck, and then he felt the end of a gun pressing against his temple. Chapter 38. This is going to go smooth and easy, the lady yelled over the jumbled up shouts of Zombie and Cassie. Smooth and easy. Zombie was looking at Ringer, who was looking at Evan Walker, and Cassie was looking at Ringer too. And then his sister said, you bitch. Weapons over there, the lady said. Her voice still had a smile in it. Stack 'em by the fireplace. Now. They disarmed, one by one. Cassie said, don't hurt him. Nobody's getting hurt, sweetheart, the lady said, smiley voiced. Where's the other one? The other what? Cassie asked. Human, there's one more. Where is it? I don't know what you're... Cassie, Evan Walker said, but he was looking over Sam's head at the lady's face. Go get Megan. He saw his sister mouth to Evan Walker. Do something. Evan Walker shook his head no. She won't come out of her room, Cassie said. Maybe she'll change her mind if you tell her I'm going to blow your little brother's brains out. Zombie's face was pale and caked in dried blood, so he looked like a real zombie. That's not going to happen, Zombie said. So what now? Then she shoots Nugget and keeps shooting people until Megan comes out, Ringer said. Zombie, trust me on this. Oh, sure, Cassie said. Terrific idea. Let's all trust Ringer. She's not here to hurt anyone, Ringer said, but she will if she has to. Tell them, Constance. Me, Evan Walker said. You've come for me, haven't you? The girl first, Constance said. Then we talk. Cassie said, that's fine, talking's one of my favorite things, but first, maybe you could let my little brother go, take me instead? Cassie's hands were up and she was putting on her fake smile. It wasn't a good fake smile. You could always tell when she was faking, because she didn't look friendly. She looked like she was going to throw up. The lady's arm like an iron bar pressing against his windpipe. Hard to breathe now, and something else pressing against the small of his back. His special secret. Nobody knew, not Zombie or even Cassie, and not this lady either. Sam slipped his hand behind his back, into the space between him and Constance. He was a soldier. He had forgotten his ABCs, but he remembered the lessons of combat. Your squad before God, that's what they taught him. He could remember only the vaguest outline of his mother's face, but he knew their faces, Dumbos and teacups, pound cakes and Oompas and Flintstones. His squad, his brothers and sisters. He couldn't recall the name of his school or what the street he lived on looked like. Those things and the 100 other forever gone things didn't matter anymore. Only one thing mattered now. The cry of the firing range and the obstacle course rising from the throats of his squad. No mercy ever. You now have 15 seconds, the lady holding him said. Don't make me count them down. It's so melodramatic. Then, the gun was in his hand, and he did not hesitate. He knew what to do. He was a soldier. The gun kicked in his hand when he fired. He almost dropped it. The bullet ripped through the lady's abdomen and exited her lower back, the slug burying itself in the dusty sofa cushions. The noise was very loud in the small space, and Cassie cried out. For an awful second, she must have thought it was the lady's gun that went off. The shot failed to drop the Constance lady or break her hold on his neck. Her grip loosened, though, at the shock of impact, and Sam heard the tiniest of gasps, a startled, huh, and before he could blink, Ringer was flying over the coffee table, arm drawn back, hand curled into a fist. Her knuckles grazed his cheek before landing against the side of Constance's head, and then a hand he didn't see flung off the arm around his neck and he stumbled free. His sister reached for him, but he spun away, holding the gun with both hands. And Ringer yanked Constance completely off her feet and swung her body high into the air like an axeman cutting firewood, smashing her down onto the coffee table. The table exploded, wood and glass and pieces of jigsaw puzzle spewing in every direction. Constance sat up. Ringer rammed the heel of her hand into Constance's nose. Pop. You could hear it break. Blood burst from her open mouth. Fingers clawing at his shirt. Cassie's. He pulled away. Cassie wasn't part of a squad. She didn't know what it meant to be a soldier. He did. He knew exactly what it meant. No mercy ever. He stepped over the broken pieces of the table and pointed the gun at the middle of the lady's face. Her bloody mouth pulled into a soulless snarl of a smile, bloody lips and bloody teeth. And then he was back in his mother's room, and she was dying of the plague, the Red Death, Cassie called it. And he was standing by her bed, and she was smiling at him with bloody teeth, face stained with bloody tears. He saw it so clearly, the face he'd forgotten in the face he saw now. In the instant before he pulled the trigger, Sammy Sullivan remembered his mother's face, the face they had given her, and the bullet that tore down the barrel held his rage, bore his grief, contained the sum of all he had lost. It connected them as if by a silver cord. When her face blew apart, they became one, victim and perpetrator, predator and prey. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z.
Chapter 39. Ringer. The blood spray blinds me for a second, but the hub retains the data of Nugget's location.